Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, worship team. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Kari and I were in Brazil a few weeks ago, a month ago, I guess now. And while we were there, they honored us so amazingly. And they were so grateful because they said, "You, the American church, and specifically this group that we're connected with, we sent missionaries to Brazil. And because of that, there's hundreds of thousands of people saved, serving God, and are part of an amazing revival in that country. And they are seeing their country changed because of Jesus." And we were in the Amazon region, and to see what God is doing there is just beautiful. We wanted to go learn from them, but all they could do was say, "Thank you for sending missionaries. Thank you for caring about us." Really what they were saying was, "Thank you for making us part of your mission. And because you did that, we're saved. Because you did that, our country has changed." Not all of the country, but a large portion of this country, they have met Jesus and they have changed. And it was just beautiful. And I was thinking about that this morning, about mission and how that when you know you're loved and when you know you are on somebody's heart and somebody's mind and somebody cares and they care enough to get involved and they care enough to act and they care enough to physically love you, that's powerful. Jesus physically came to this planet. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus came. And he physically changed our world. He changed our life. He showed us the heart of the Father, and he showed us the love of the Father. And he demonstrated, this is what it's really about. It's not really about all those laws and rules and regulations and ceremonies. They have their point, and they are trying to lead you to certain things. But it's really about this. Let's heal people. Let's love people. Let's include people. Let's involve people. This is the mission. And we're all involved. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a very beautiful thing. There are many more things that unite us than what divide us. Talking about unity in this series, there are things that threaten our unity in our families, in our community, in our world. There are things that threaten our unity. But there's much more that unites us than what divides us if we're just willing to see it, if we're just willing to look for it. Too often, if we're not careful, we have a habit of trying to identify things that would divide us or separate us or reasons why we can't fully agree, or fully engage, fully participate. And sometimes we pick the craziest things to divide on. It's like, really? That's what you're going to choose? That's the issue you're going to die on? That's the hill right there? That's what you're going to say is the dividing point? Sometimes in our families, we have this division, and the division happened because of an event or a word, a conversation, an action, and that became the thing that was held up and became the pivot point of the family and of the relationship, and that family divided over that word, that issue, that event, instead of the thousand things they could unite on and agree on and connect on. And we need to change that in our world. We need to change that in our church. We need to change that in our families. We need to be united together. We need to quit focusing on things that are a little different that would divide us and focus on the things that are much more abundant that unites us. And we can celebrate that and make that what we are all about. Let's change that habit, can we? What would happen in our families and our careers, our jobs, our churches, our communities, and our neighborhoods if we would focus on what unites us instead of what divides us? I don't know where we get that stuff at. Maybe I do know a little bit about where we get it. But we sure should not let division rule our life, our family, our world, our church, our community, and our neighborhood. We should not allow that to happen. How much better would life be if families were united and healthy and healed and strong? I just think about my family and things that I've missed because we were divided. We didn't like everything about each other. A lot of times there was alcohol involved. In my family, I've talked to you a little bit about it in the past, but we quit having family reunions because my uncles would throw each other down stairways and then shoot at each other as they were running away through the woods. And we just felt like it's probably not good to get together anymore. Blue lights always accompanied our family reunions. And it wasn't Christmas lights. It was police lights. But I think of how much I missed with my cousins and how much I missed with my uncles and my aunts and my family because of that on both sides. And I'm thinking, God, how much better would life be if we could just unite and connect and support each other? How much better would our communities be? How much better would it be where you work if you guys would quit picking on each other and quit dividing? And would connect and love and support. Life would be a lot better. I think it would be a little bit like heaven, I think. Wouldn't it be a little bit like heaven? Don't you know that in heaven there's not going to be a division? There's going to be one nation, all of us together. From every tribe, every kindred, every race, every group, there's going to be a united, eternal church, family. No more devil, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more division. All that will be gone forever. I want that. I'm going to get that, actually, but I want a little more of it here and now. Don't you? Amen. I want a little more of that right here and right now. Really, we're all just people with the same basic needs and the same basic desires. We are not all that different. Some of you look a little different, I know, but you are not all that different. We are not very different from each other. We have the same needs. We have the same desires, the same basics. We're human beings made in the image and likeness of God. We have this commonality that is so amazing. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are not accidents of chemistry. You are not random cells joining together. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You're handmade, hand-formed. He loves you. You're His offspring. You're His kids. He loves us. There's a lot more that unites us than what would ever really divide us. We have such similarities of our needs. The deal is we're not all in the same place. We have similar desires and needs, but we're not all in the same place. In life, I'm in a different place than most all of you, and you're in a different place than I am. And so there's some differences there, but God's trying to get us all to the same place. We're talking about mission. God has a mission to get you and I to the same place. He has a mission to get us over the top. We're going to talk a little bit about that and show you a couple things here in just a minute. Various things can move us up and down a scale, but we are on the scale together. We're all part of God's mission. We're all part of God's working to move us up the scale. God wants all of us saved. Do you know that? God wants everybody saved. We're all together in that. God's not willing that anybody would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance. Some of us are more wounded than others. Some of us have more pain than others. Some of us have more healing than others. Some of us have more power today than others do. But we're all on this scale together, and God's trying to move all of us up this scale, up this chart. Sorry, I'm getting over a cold here, and I'll be coughing off and on, but and this microphone doesn't hide it well. Let's look at this chart. Throw that chart up on the screen, if you would. This is called the Engel scale. And there's some words beside the scale, but this is the Engel scale of evangelism. First time I saw this, I thought, oh, that's what's going on. Finally, somebody helped me out. I finally realized. But in evangelism, we all are lost and we all need a Savior and we all need healing and we all need restoration and we all need to discover our purpose and our destiny and we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we all need to learn the Word of God and we all need to work together in our generation to accomplish the purposes of God. That's what we're supposed to do, but we're on different parts of the scale. At the bottom is a negative 12. In the middle is 0, and at the top is positive 12. And I'm not going to ask you to pick a number. Pick a number. Where do you think you are on the scale? A lot of us were down here at negative 12. There are people that don't like God, don't believe in God, don't believe in the church. They believe in something else. They believe in karma. They believe in reincarnation. They believe in Satan, but they don't believe in God. There's people that believe in nothing. They're just humanism. You know, just humans are the superior thing ever that in the life forms, you know. And there's a lot of people at a negative 12. They don't care about God. They don't like God. And Satan works really hard to move us down the scale. And God works really hard to move us up the scale. This is the mission. Satan has a mission, move us down the scale, drop out the bottom, and spend eternity in hell. That's Satan's mission. God's mission, move us up the scale, get us healed, get us empowered, get us on destiny track, and get us over the top into heaven. This is the mission. And we're all united. You're all somewhere on the scale. At the bottom here, these words are born with a God vacuum. We don't know what's going on. We feel empty. Let's fill it up with drugs, alcohol, sex, all sorts of crazy religious ideas. Let's fill it up with that. Let's see if that works. If I don't like drugs and alcohol and sex, maybe I'll fill it up with Twinkies, you know. Whatever it takes, we're going to fill up this God vacuum with something. I'll fill it up with money. I'll fill it up with whatever. And there's a hole in us, and there's an emptiness in us, but we're not even sure why, and we've been convinced by life, the enemy, TV, whatever, that there isn't a God, and a lot of people are negative 12 down here. But they can have a neighbor like you, and then we can move them up the scale. Now they're maybe a negative 9. They seek to fill a personal void. Or maybe we can get them up to way up to a negative 1. They're counting the cost of accepting Christ as their Savior. They're kind of at that stage of maybe this isn't as bad as I thought it was, or somebody told me it was, and maybe they actually get to 0. They repent and trust Jesus. There's a lot of people that end up in church, they repent, they trust Jesus, but they don't keep moving up this scale. You know, that's not the end of the scale. It isn't the end of the scale. There's a mission. God has a mission for you and I, and we are His mission, and a part of His mission is to keep moving us up. We experience initial life changes. We're gaining assurance of salvation. We begin to read the Bible and pray. We experience sin and confession. We witness to unbelievers. We're identifying with other believers now. We're identify with Christ in baptism. We're participating in Christian services. We get all the way to the top and we're actually fulfilling our destiny. We're serving the Lord in the purpose that He created us for. And we're on this mission that God has us on. Let's look at the circles. I have another graph here. This is something we teach in our Meet the Pastors, our O1 classes, and we're all on this chart somewhere. And God, in the community, way up there at the top, this biggest circle, everybody on the planet is in that circle or inside of that circle. We're all together in this thing. That community is, they don't even know if God exists. They're just alive on the planet, sucking oxygen, you know. That's what we're doing. And so they're just out there in the community of human beings that are alive on the planet. And then something happens and they move into the crowd. They start to thinking, maybe there is a God and maybe He does love me and maybe He does have a plan. And so they show up to church once in a while. They're Christers, you know. They show Christmas and Easter, you know, they show up. And they start checking God out a little bit, and they show up for a funeral and a wedding, and they hear a little bit about God, and maybe once in a while something on TV, and maybe one of their friends invites them to something, you know, and so they're part of the crowd. But that God's mission is to get them part of the congregation and then part of the community. And the core here is it's where God lives. It's that closest, intimate relationship with God. God's always trying to get you closer to Him. He's always trying to get you closer to purpose and destiny. He's always trying to get you closer. And this is His mission. So maybe those charts help you out a little bit. I thought about that first chart. Some people are in the negatives because they've had an abuse in their life. And there's so much pain in their life. And so they're a negative 10. Maybe there was neglect in their life. And if there is a God, how could God ever allow something like this to happen? Instead of recognizing it's Satan that's messing up our world and messing up our lives, they start blaming God. Didn't God do that with Adam and Eve? Or didn't Satan do that with Adam and Eve in the garden? One of the first things he just started saying, maybe God doesn't love you. Maybe God isn't really for you. Maybe God's trying to keep that fruit from you because when you eat that fruit, you're going to be like Him, and He doesn't really love you, and He doesn't want you to be like Him, but you want to be, don't you want to be like Him? Well, if He doesn't love me and He's not trying to do the best for me, why would I want to be like Him? But we don't work the logic out, do we? We just kind of take the bait. And Adam and Eve took the bait that day and they said, yeah, God's trying to keep something good from us and let's eat it. And we've been all messed up ever since. And Satan's been messing with our planet ever since. He's been messing with generation after generation ever since. But God's on a mission to save us. God's on a mission to rescue us. Let's look at some of those verses. Just thinking about, we need a Savior. God's trying to save us. This is His mission. I already said John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, could have everlasting life. What if we looked at that Engle scale and said, God so loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son so that people would never stay at a negative 10 or would never stay at a negative 3? Or they would never even stay at zero, at just barely saved. But they would start getting more information about God, closer to God, and they would actually fulfill the reason they were born. If we're not accidents, if we're not relatives of monkeys and polywogs and primordial ooze, I love that phrase, primordial ooze. I think I've seen that before, actually. Primordial ooze. They have cleaners for that, but... If we are not accidents, if we are not monkeys, and if we are not polywog, frog, monkey, people, then we're born with a purpose and a destiny. Are we living that? Do we understand that? Are we allowing God to fulfill His mission, that we would not perish, that we would not die, never understanding our mission, never understanding why we're here, never understanding what it's about? See, God doesn't only want to awaken us, He wants to fill us with amazing life. And sometimes we believe enough in God to get saved, but not enough in God to let Him give us this abundant life that He's promised us. Say, God, thank You for salvation and Your blood, and You've cleansed my sin. Thank You, and I'll take it from here. Really? You can't save yourself. You need Jesus to save you. But now that you get saved, you're going to do it your own way? You're going to take it from here? Are we crazy or what? Or is that just the assembly church? Our church is cool, but maybe not. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. This is prophetic words talking about Jesus is coming, and this is what He's coming to do. This is His mission. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news or good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those that are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Does that sound good or what? To give those who mourn in Zion, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. This is God's mission, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Oh, the church just wants my money. We could care less about your money. In fact, you don't have enough money to help us out that much anyway. So what are you worried about? You know what I'm saying, right? We want to give you life. We want to give you abundant life. We want to give you Jesus and the Holy Spirit and healing and restoration. And we don't just want to give it to you. We want to give it to the other 8,000 people that are within 15 miles of this building. We want to give it to them too. That's why we're a church. That's our mission. That's God's mission. I love some of what He says after that. Verse 4 says, "And they will rebuild the old ruins. They will raise up the former desolations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations." That looks like a negative 12 to me. It looks like God's going to take a negative 12 and He's going to repair, and He's going to rebuild, and He's going to restore until I get to be a positive 12 and get over the top and get into heaven full of life. That's what the mission is. And we're all included. You and I are all on this chart. We're all the mission that God has. We are all that mission. Over in Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes these words. He stands up in the synagogue in the church that day and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, and He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to those that need some good news. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to set captives free, to let the oppressed go free." Jesus quoted those very words. "This is my mission. This is what I'm here for." Man, that unites us, because I need my heart healed. I need the places where I'm in bondage, to be set free. I need good news. I need hope. I'm part of this mission, and you're part of this mission, and we're united in this thing, and it's beautiful. In Luke chapter 2, the great Christmas chapter, you know, we read this chapter a lot and hear it a lot during this season, and it's beautiful. Verse 8, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, or good news of great joy, which shall be to all the good little people. No? All the Idahoans. All the Life Center folk. Which shall be to all people. I think I'm united in that, and so are you. This good news, joy for all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Jesus Christ the Lord. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. He saved me from some stuff already. I'm not a negative 12 anymore. Some of you may not believe this, but I am not a negative 12 anymore. I'm up that scale somewhere. But I still need a Savior. For the next level, I need to go up that scale. I still need Jesus to set me free. I still need Jesus to speak truth into my life. I still need hope and life and wellness. I still need that. I still need a Savior, and so do you. This is the mission. This is the mission. This will be a sign to you. You find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Man, I just love that. Glory to God in the highest. Because this is his mission. Goodwill. He has good intentions for you. Goodwill. And peace. He has this for you. He has this for me. And I need it. And I need it. And I love that. I am the mission of Jesus. I am the mission of God. And I appreciate him doing that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said this, of whom I am chief. There's times that I look at my life and I think, God, I might be the person that needs the Savior the most. I might be that person. I might be that person that's had my heart ripped out of me. I might be that person that feels like there wasn't any way to ever win. I might be that person, the chief of sinners. But Jesus Christ came to save sinners. It's his mission. Next verse is 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. One of the parts of the mission of God is to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil is sin. And sin destroys our life. And sin ravages our heart. Sin ravages our potential and our future. And the enemy wants us to think that that sin That tragedy, whether you did it or somebody else did it, will keep you at the bottom of the scale for the rest of your life. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the works of the devil is to keep me at a negative 12 or a negative 5 or even just at a 1. That's the works of the devil. If he can get in my head, if he can get in my heart, if he can get in my home, somehow he wants to keep me low. He wants to victimize me, and he wants to give me an identity. Kelly, you're a victim, and you'll always be a victim. And you better just live like a victim and think like a victim. You're a negative 10, and you're never getting any higher. But Jesus came to destroy that. Jesus came to set me free from that. Jesus came to say, that work of Satan that messed up your life, I will set you free. I will heal you. That will not limit you. That will not keep you down, because you are my mission, and I love you, and you are free in the name of Jesus Christ. And I need that. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I might be on the stage today, but I still need a Savior. I'm not a plus 12. I may not be a negative 12 anymore, hallelujah. But I am not a plus 12. But I want Him to save me and set me free. I want Him to destroy the works of the devil in my life so that only the works and the beauty of God is left. The mission of God, that's all that's left. So you and I are united as the focus of His mission. Someday Jesus is coming back and He's going to remove Satan and evil from the world. Someday the Antichrist and the false prophet and the beast will all be defeated. And evil will be vanquished. And there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. That's the mission. I am so looking forward to that. I'm united with you in wanting that. Longing for that. Praying for that. Reaching for that. We're united in that. The struggle's real. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but there's times that I ratchet up and down that scale a little bit. There's times when the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, and I made it up to negative 10, but he wants to drop me back to negative 12. I made it up to 0, but he wants to pull me back to a negative 5. I made it up to a plus 7. But he wants to do something in my life, in my world, to pull me back to a plus 2. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. The battle is real. I need a Savior. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the mission. This is the mission. I love the mission of God. Like, Kelly, you should just be grateful that I even like you a little bit, and that I'm even willing to save you. And you should just be miserably righteous for the rest of your life and wait at the rapture bus stop until I come to get you. That's Christianity. It's like baloney. I mean, that's good baloney. That's Oscar Mayer baloney. But it's still baloney. That's not the mission of God. The mission of God is to set you free and give you abundant life, to heal your broken heart. That's the mission of God, to destroy the works of the devil. You and I don't have to live with the works of the devil clinging to us. He came to destroy that and set us free. I feel like preaching a little bit today, and I'm only about halfway through the sermon. Some of you are nervous. But we're also united in the mission another way. One time somebody asked Jesus in Mark chapter 12, what do I have to do to be saved? Jesus said, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second greatest commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the mission is just not me and Jesus got our own thing going. That old hippie song from the 70s, right? Woo, hallelujah. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. That's not Christianity. I sang that song in the 70s. Some of you don't think I'm that old, but I really am. Not the 1870s either. Love God. Why would we not love God? He first loved us. We're His mission. We're His kids. Why would we not love Him? But He says, that's not enough, Kelly. I want you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And if you'll do that, you're good. You're golden, man. Do that. See, that's the mission. See, not only am I the mission, you're the mission, and the people around us in our generation are the mission. And He says, now that I've included you and rescued you and helped you and I've moved you up that scale a little bit, would you help me help some other people? Would you help me love on some other people? And then He gave us the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them all these things that I've commanded you, and I will be with you till the end of the ages. That's the Great Commission. And that's for us also. So we are united not only that we are God's mission, but we are united in the fact that He includes us. And He says, I give you a mission too. And you have a purpose too. And you have a destiny too. And you're united in all of that. I'm going to fast forward a whole bunch. There we go. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, Jesus is, He's taking us up the scale a little bit here. He's like, it's not okay to be at a zero or a plus one. I really have included all of you in this mission. If you desire me, and you desire to follow me, what I need you to do is take up your cross and follow me. What I need you to do is get on mission with me. And this unites us. And He goes on and He says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. A lot of us don't believe this verse. We think that we're smarter than God. We think we can do it our way. We want to be everybody. I started out saying we all have the same needs and the same desires. That's true. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want our life to mean something. We want pleasure and joy and peace. But some of us think we can carve that out for ourselves. That we popped onto the planet here in the 20th or the 21st century, and we have it all figured out now. This is how life works. This is the best way to live it. And God says, tell you what, if you seek to save your life, if you think you're going to outsmart me, and if you think your way is better, you're going to end up losing. But if you will lose your life for my sake, if you'll just believe me, and if you'll just follow me And if you'll just get all in, and if you'll just climb up to that positive 12, if you'll do that, you will find life. You will be so happy. You will be so fulfilled. You'll, at the end of your days, God will look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Instead of, "Well, you're done," right? One of my ambitions in life is to actually have God look at me and hear Him say, "Kelly, well done. You started off at that negative 12, but you didn't stay there. And you had a lot of challenges, but you kept climbing. And you didn't let anybody or anything, you didn't let the devil's works stop you. You did not live like a victim. You did not do that. You overcame, you received all that I had for you, and then you helped me help a whole bunch of other people. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want to hear Him say that. So Jesus says, what profit is it if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with the angels, and He will reward each one according to his works. You and I have a commonality and a unity in mission. Let me just conclude with this sentence. When I have my cross on my back and you have your cross on your back, we look a lot the same. And there's a lot of unity in that. And I don't have a lot of time or energy to be critical and skeptical and be divisive. Amen? Amen. Amen. The mission is amazing, folks. You are the mission, and then God includes you in the mission. That's a big piece of unity for each one of us. God bless you. Wayne, we're going to turn it over to you, buddy. Close it out for us.
Thank you, Kelly. So, Kelly,